see you here this day. Magando umaga. Buenos dias. Bon dia. Jin dobre. Did I get it right this time? Oh, okay, just checking. Last time I messed that one up. It's great to have you here this day as we celebrate this wonderful day of Mother's Day. It is a wonderful, and also we do need to acknowledge it can be a difficult day. This last week, my Aunt Joanne called me and asked me what flowers I would like to have on Mom's grave back in Ohio. And as I remembered Mom, and as I remembered my Aunt Florence and Aunt Nina, and all those in my family who mothered me, you know, there was a sadness about it. There was a difficulty about it. And yet I come today, and did you see the first song we had? The children, the moms and the grandmoms, three generations singing, "Do Lord, Remember Me." I mean, just quit and go home there. Get a recording, right? Get a recording. Let's go home, and as we celebrate our lives together, those who have loved us, it's just a wonderful and an awesome day. So, bear with me today. Okay? So I'll start with a joke. You hear the one about the free man standing at the side of the river? Give me that. This is for you. Three men standing beside the river, and they're roaring river, and they need to cross it. And one man prays to God and said, "Lord, can I have the strength to cross this river?" God gives him the strength, and boom, and suddenly he swims straight across. The second man prays, "Lord, could I have the strength and the technology to get across this river?" So suddenly, boom, he's got the strength, and also he's got a canoe. Canoe. Probably aluminum. No, I'm just kidding. But he puts that canoe in with his strength. He paddles across really, really hard. He makes it across. Finally, the third man said, "Lord, can I have the strength, the technology, and the intelligence to cross this river?" And suddenly, boom, he was given strength. Suddenly he was given strength, and boom, he turned into a woman and he walked 25 feet down the river and crossed the bridge. Gentlemen, Jim Evans gave me that joke, guys. So if you want to go after somebody, it's his fault. I tell you that joke and I thought you would appreciate it, but also I tell you that joke to soften you up on Mother's Day. Because you need to forgive me. We work at these sermons pretty hard, and this is a special day in which we share the Word of God. But as I work with this, and what kept coming to me is I'm going to share a couple stories with you, one about a car and one about the commander of an aircraft carrier, which isn't quite Mother's Day material, is it? But bear with me. Bear with me. You know, love is a funny thing, isn't it? You've heard that phrase before. Love is a funny thing. Poets and musicians and writers and theologians and philosophers for generations, for all the time humanity has been around, have been writing stuff about love. What is this thing that gets a hold of us? What is this love stuff that we celebrate even to this day? Today we read some stuff from the book of Revelation. It's a book that we often misunderstand. You know, Revelation has been novelized in our culture and society, has it not? You know, Left Behind stuff, rapture stuff. I don't believe in that, and I don't think there's much scriptural testimony to that. It's a theory. And what it's done is taken the book of Revelation, made us afraid of the book when it's got beautiful poetry about God's love and God's faithfulness and the wonder that is in our time, and it can be in our life in difficult times. So we misread that, but I especially like what Revelation says today. As John is writing to the book of, to the church in Ephesus, he tells them, you know, this stuff is going on, and I admire you for doing this, but I hold this against you. You forgot your first love. You forgot your first love. And as they talk about, you know, that Jesus, the one who came and showed acceptance and appreciation for them enough to love them and give his life, enough to value who they were. You forgot who that first love was for you. And that's what I hold. Get back to that person. Get back to those ways of Jesus and what Christ is about. I don't know about you, but I do remember my first love. Can I get an amen? I get grunts. First love's a tricky thing. My first love, it was when I was 16 years old. I need to share that. So, 16 years old, and my wife hasn't seen this picture. Thank God she's not here right now. Here's my first love. Her name was Belle. Last name Air. You know that? That's a 1964 Bel Air. And I have to tell you, that isn't mine, but mine was kind of like that. Mine was a lime green, it wasn't blue. Why they paint them lime green, I don't know. But I know some of you guys are motorheads out there. It had a small block 283 8-banger in it. Do you know what I'm talking about? And the mom's going, what? Some dad's going, yeah. And let me tell you, that 283 could get up and haul. It could really move. I don't know how I know that because I never drove above 25 miles per hour. I'm stepping aside for lightning strikes. That's what I'm doing now. But I love that car. I love that car. That baby was beat up. That baby was rusted out. It had a metal dashboard on the passenger side. And with somebody had taken a hammer to it. It had dents in it. But I took the $200 I saved up from paper routes, you know, from baling hay with my, on my uncle's farm, you know, from gifts of birthday and Christmas. I took that. I took $200 out of probably my five or, I was rich. I had $500 or $600 in the bank at 16. I took $200 and I bought a Bel Air just like that, and I love it. I drove my friends to school who didn't have, you know, who didn't have cars, and you know, I had a car. But I went to practices with that car. I went to see friends with that car. I went to jobs with that car. It was a great car, and it had some specialties I didn't even know about when I bought it. If you get in the back seat and you move the floor mat aside, you saw there was a hole in the floor. Literally, there was a hole in the floor. And I didn't know that. It was an extra added feature. And the kind of crowd I ran with, you know, I showed that to them. I said, guys, Bill, that's cool, man. And they just stare for hours, watch as we go by, you know. And lucky they didn't lose a foot is what they was lucky of. Last week when I was sitting with the graduates at the graduate lunch, one of our seniors, smart guy, said, and I told him about that car. I said, I had a hole in it for it. He says, well, Pastor Bill, that's like a glass-bottom boat, isn't it? And I could have made money charging a quarter apiece. Come ride in my car and see the road, you know. I mean, I was lucky I didn't kill somebody is what it was. It was a death trap. I loved that car. I had it about 9 months a year, and then I pulled up to a stop sign, and I pushed on the brakes, and they went all the way to the floor. And I was going slow, so nothing happened. So I pumped really hard, and finally the brakes stopped. But I figured, you know, I was a macho kind of guy, but if the car's not stopping, I ought to take it in and check it out. So I took it in and checked it out, and they checked out the brakes, and there was a bunch of stuff that needed to be done. I'm not even going to go into that. But it cost more than I had in my bank account. And the guy who at the garage offered me over $100 just for that 283 8-cylinder. He wanted that engine. It was a real good engine. So, and I figured, you know, that's a pretty good investment. So I did sell it, but as I was selling it to him and went to get the money, you know, it broke my heart to sell that. I love that car. Let me tell you this. How sick is that? It's not there anymore. That's okay. That piece of rust, that four wheels, what's the purpose of that thing up there? It's for me and my friends or some kind of thing I'm hauling in the boot to get from one place to the other. The function of that thing on the screen is transportation. But I love that. I love it. I love a thing. And I wonder what that says about me, but I'm guessing I'm not the only one in this room that has that issue. And I'm guessing it's not just men. Am I right? I mean, we could change and put other things on the screen. So you can take that down. Break taking me back, and I can't do it. You know, we love things sometimes when we are called to love what? People. Use things. Love people, not love things. How sick is that? And yet, was that Mission Impossible? I kind of wonder about the rest of the sermon now. Was that Hawaii? That was Hawaii 5-0. Oh! From West Virginia to Hawaii. How's that? All right. I am lost now. Where am I? This church. I'm at the benediction. Let's stand for the benediction. I am really lost, I tell you. As I was thinking about this thought, why is it, gentlemen and all of us, why is it we love things? Why is it we love things? As I was doing some reading and research this week on issues like this, I ran across a quote from a marketing book called Blue Ocean Strategy. Some of you who are marketers may have read this. And it says this. It tells you how to sell things better. It says, it took me a while to understand what this means. It said, functionally oriented industries, or businesses that sell things that have a function, like transportation, get from one place to the other, right? That's all the car is for. It's like a horse. It gets you there. Businesses that sell functional things can give their products new life and stimulate demand, or in other words, they can sell more of their stuff by adding a dose of emotion. I read that and I thought about that for days and I thought, I've been conned. That love and that emotion and that appreciation for what could go towards God and creation and the ways of life, leave my children. I've been conned into, I've let myself love that which is not important. Do not store up for yourself things that are. And if you think I'm wrong, you know, it took me 5 minutes to find the following. I researched cars. I went on and I researched car advertisements. And you want to hear some of them? You see them all the time, and some of you may recognize. But here's what I found. As I researched one car company, it says you can drive under the Milky Way. It's like with your love, right? It's a car. Drive under the Milky Way. Another one says, you know, we're all in this together. Like a community, it's like a church, it's like a family. Me and that piece of metal with tires, we're all in this together. Another one says, I love this one. The cylinder head of a car was deep breathing. Good air in, bad air out. It had a deep breathing cylinder head, and its engine was in perfect harmony. But my best was, it said this, I went on YouTube and I researched, and this said was the best car commercial of all time. And you know what it was? It was a choir. It was a choir up front, dressed in tuxes, and what they did was that all they did was they made sounds of what a car makes when you drive it. And you know, and the commercial had one line, and it says this. And I am going to say a brand name just because it, not that I'm advertising or anything, but it says, this is what a Honda feels like. What do you mean feels like? It's a mode of transportation. And yet in 5 minutes, I found a half dozen commercials that make all of us want to feel, become in love with our car. To feel an emotional attachment to our brand. And I wonder who then and what we are. Now don't get me wrong. I am kind of a functional guy. I like just to get her done. I like get her done stuff, you know, like floors, if you will, Jim. I like just to get her done. But that car that I had an emotional attachment to, you know, there's a reason I love that car. I really worked hard, and it was kind of the first major purchase I had as an adult, and I felt good about that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's good. I also know that was the first vehicle that me and Dad stood beside. And he showed me how to change the oil on that. He showed me how to time that thing. You know how you turn the car with the light? Guys, remember that? I could never get that. Dad could. But he tried to show me that. We changed spark plugs on that. And so another reason I love that car is because of Dad. There was a relationship there. But it really had nothing to do with the metal and the tires. It was that relationship. And yet, when we think about who and what we are, how often do we put our emotions, our efforts, the acquisition of things. Not that we use people, but by loving things, we forget. Sometimes even those who are nearest and closest to us. The gospel says today, give yourself to the ways of God. Not the kingdom of thingdom. Not the stuff out there that wants us to worship stuff, but give yourself to the ways of God. Seek His way. You seek the ways of love, and all else will be provided. And yet, we love our God. what would it mean for us to recapture our first love in Jesus Christ? Our first love, it says, what you are about is the ways of love. You recapture that. You use that. You do that in your life, and there is nothing like that. Then that rusted old piece of metal is just a rusted old piece of metal to get you someplace. When we know the gospel and the love of Christ, as we love each other. And know what it means to be accepted and appreciated. Know what it means to be loved for who we are. Know what it means to be valued for who we are. A mother. I think there's a call for us, especially in our society. Especially in our society. I mean, why is it we get in trouble every 20 or 30 years with a depression or a recession? Or borrowing over our heads? Or borrowing for stocks? Why is it? How is it we let ourselves be confined and not remember the ways of Christ or the ways of a mother's life? In France, just south of Paris, there is a home for those who are physically and mentally disabled. It's called LARCH. LARCHP. It's called the LARCH community. It was started by a gentleman named Jean Vanier. I have his picture. He talks about his idea is that we need to have a wisdom of tenderness. A wisdom of tenderness. Now, the moms out there are saying it's about time you got to some mother stuff, right? Tenderness, here we go. And your dads are rolling your eyes saying, oh my gosh, here's a wimpy guy that's going to tell us that, yeah, yeah. But let me tell you about this wimpy guy. Jean Vanier. He was raised in Europe during World War II when he saw what was there. He was moved by that. At the age of 13, he went to his father, who was a diplomat, and asked for his father's permission to enlist in the Navy. 13. And his father said yes. He enlisted and went into naval school. By the time he was in his late 20s, he was in the Navy. And by the time he was in his late 20s, he was a commander of an aircraft carrier. Tell me how wimpy that is. And he said he loved the Navy. I mean, he loved the idea of giving orders, people following the orders. He loved the structure and the order of a Navy and what he did. But around 1950, he got this gnawing in his heart and gnawing in his soul that said, you know, I need to do something more. Christ is calling me to be somebody else. So in 1950, as a commander of an aircraft carrier, he resigned his commission. Studied in Catholic universities. He's Roman Catholic. Studied in Catholic universities to find what Jesus had for him. Got a degree, was teaching in the universities, and then one day, a friend of his asked him to come and visit a home just south of Paris for the mentally and the physically disabled. He's 82 now. Asked him to come. He saw this home. He was moved by this home. And God touched him as he was in this home for the physically and the mentally disabled. And so he quit what he was doing. He bought a house just near that community. And he asked two of the people from that home for the mentally and physically disabled to come and live with him so that they might, here was the purpose of the home, so that they might live, learn, and love on a daily basis. That's all. And he talked about learning from those who are disabled. Not just caring for, but what can God teach me from these who have a different way. What can I live, learn, and love on a daily basis? He taught this. He talked about this. And as of today, there are 131 large homes throughout the world in 34 countries. Here's a picture of Mr. Vanier with a large member community. I think it's in Asia. I'm not sure. This wasn't identified. And then here's another picture As he set these up, he got well known in the Catholic. We probably don't know him very well. He got well known in the Roman Catholic Church. Went all over the world, worked with Mother Teresa on things. We live, we learn, and we love on a daily basis. And as he set about doing that, a lot of people would come and get his advice. And one day, a man came in to visit him. A businessman who had a lot of stuff. A businessman who did well for himself. This businessman came in to talk to him and ask, you know, advice on stuff because he was having a rough time. The businessman came in, he sat with Mr. Vanier, and he complained about stuff. He was upset about stuff. He was angry about stuff. He was sad about things in the world, what was going on in his life. And suddenly, as they were having this discussion, Mr. Vanier's door burst open. And a young man walked in, walked up to Mr. Vanier, shook his hand, walked to another man and shook his hand. And John Vanier says, this, what we would call this gentleman had Down syndrome, if we're familiar with that, is what he was. But he came up and shook their hands, smiled and laughed and was as happy as can be, turned around and left. And this businessman, who was sad and complaining and angry, said, isn't that a sad thing? Isn't that a sad thing? And Mr. Vanier said, it occurred to me, who is sad? Who is happy? Who is controlled by the ways of the world? Who is celebrating what God has given? Who is sad? Who is celebrating what God is about in this? And the answer is clear. And yet, what was the statement? Isn't that sad? It should have been, aren't I sad? Aren't I sad? In an interview, Mr. Vanier was asked, what happened that first trip to that home south of Paris? You know, what happened inside of you? You had all kinds of career stuff going on. You didn't need to do that. And he said, you know, as I met with them in that home that day, I could just feel their cry for relationship. Their cry that says they want to be part of a loving relationship. They wanted to be friends. That's what they wanted. And there was this cry in them, this deepest desire in them that really taught me what life was about. There was this deepest desire in them that said what they wanted was to be accepted and appreciated, was to be loved for who they are, and to be seen as someone of value. To be appreciated and accepted for who they were, to be loved for who they were, to be seen as someone of value. How is it so often we in this place, and we who are called normal, if you will, how often is it we forget the basic ideas of love and grace and acceptance and value in our brothers and sisters who live with us, let alone our brothers and sisters in Christ, let alone all of God's children in this world? Because we love a 1964 God. How is it we forgot to accept each other for who we are? Give love the way we can. We see the as I think about Mom, she's been gone 3 years. And as I think about my Aunt Joanne that I just talked to this week, as I think about who they were to me, you know, I'd go home or I'd go to Aunt Joanne's house and they just accept me. I mean, I may have really messed up in school, and I did. But that was okay. They would sit down and just accept it. All my problems and all my struggles. I knew at both of those homes, 319 Forest Street and 722 McLean Street, when I went to those places, I was gone. Wasn't fancy, wasn't great stuff, but I knew, bottom line, core, I went to a place where I was loved. And I knew when I went to those homes that they knew I was a person. Didn't matter what the teacher had said about me. Didn't matter what the coach had said about me. Didn't matter what my friends had said about me. I knew I was a person of God. And as we come this day and celebrate Mother's Day, what is that about? It's about those that appreciate and accept us. It's about those that love us. It's about those that communicate to us that we will. That's what it's about. Today, as we leave this place, and then it will be time to stand for the benediction. Today, as we leave this place, I want you to remember those who did those things for you. Acceptance, love, and God. Remember those in your life who did those for you, whether they're with us still or not. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. But the second piece is that I believe that we are in a battle, that we are in conflict about who and what love is. And even though we can make fun of loving a 1964 Bel Air, and we can make fun of these commercials that say, you know, we ought to love your car, it's an emotional thing, that stuff keeps coming around and around and around and around. And sometimes they're just a lot smarter than we are about it in our society. So our children and our people, commit to me this day that what you are going to be about with them is you are going to be those that accept them for who they are. You're going to be those that make sure they know they are loved no matter what. And you're going to make sure that you share with them that you are kids of value. Not just yours, but every child and every youth in our community. Let Jesus speak that. Don't let marketing speak that. Because marketing will take that love stuff. Jesus will take it. Make a commitment with me. We're going to accept. We're going to love. We're going to value those who are in. And in doing that, God will speak. We have the potential to transform our community and our society. Let's bow. Most loving God, we thank you for the many ways of grace you touch our hearts. We thank you for the love that's been shown to us by our mothers, our aunts, our cousins, our grandmothers. We thank you for those who were not women who showed us a motherly love as well. So, loving God, help us give you thanks and remember and appreciate those who loved us to us. And help us be transformed into those who seek your kingdom first, to reject the kingdom of finger, and reach out to our children and our youth to accept, love, and value them for who they are. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Would you please now stand for our closing song?